As sports history fans, we often reminisce about the legends. Willis Reed limping on to the NBA Finals court, Curt Schilling's bloody sock, Kerry Strug's courageous dismount, and so many more. These moments often define sports history. But what about the countless injuries that did not become legends, or careers that were derailed due to inadequate care? That's where this episode's sponsor comes in. Introducing to you, ILP Sports Consultants, your trusted sports injury partner, available 24/7. Brian Maielli at ILP Sports Consultants has over 20 years of experience in the orthopedic and sports medicine industry, and he has worked with athletes across the gamut, from youth to amateurs, professionals, in almost every sport played in the United States of America, accommodating athletes at every stage of their career. This adaptability ensures that ILP services are perfectly tailored to your skill level, no matter where you are in your athletic journey. With ILP, you are in control. Choose the steps that matter most to you: diagnosis, treatment plan, recovery, or the whole journey. ILP services are tailored to your unique needs. Rushing for care is a common pitfall, leading to future problems. ILP Sports Consultants helps you make the right decisions, ensuring that you receive timely and safe care. And here's a bonus. Brian hosts the Injured List podcast, sharing insights and athlete stories you won't want to miss. Whether you're a concerned parent or grandparent, or an athlete yourself seeking guidance, ILP Sports Consultants is your beacon of hope in sports injury management. Visit ilpsports.com today. That's the letters ilpsports.com. ILP Sports Consultants, where your well-being is the priority and your recovery is the mission. Choose ILP Sports Consultants for a healthier sports journey, helping you get back in the game the smart way.
There's nothing better than fond memories of a football game, and we have plenty of those today on our football history headlines for January 6th, as we'll talk about some great championship games that were played in the NFL, some great championship games that were played in college football, and some great Hall of Famer legends on their birthdays. It's all coming up in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends, and welcome to the Pig Pen. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and we're here to talk about some great football history once again. And today's date and topic is January 6th, the events in football history, the football history headlines. We'll start off January 6th, 1980, at Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh, the AFC Championship game to determine who would win the Lamar Hunt Trophy and represent the American Football Conference in Super Bowl 14. Two of the old AFC Central foes met for the third time that season, the Oilers of Houston and the defending champs, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Late in the third quarter of this game is one of the most controversial officiating calls in NFL history. With the Oilers deep inside Pittsburgh territory, Dan Pastorini dropped back and tossed a pass towards the back right corner of the end zone. Houston receiver Mike Renfro seemingly came down with an amazing catch with Steelers corner Ron Johnson in tight coverage on him to tie the game. But the official on the coverage did not call anything, and the crew got together in a huddle to discuss the play. A few moments later, they deemed it to be an incomplete pass, as when Renfro finally secured the ball, he had fallen out of bounds. This was 6 years before instant replay was used in NFL officiating, and it may be the very play that was the root of the replay's adoption in the league. The Oilers were forced to kick a field goal, and for the second straight year, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Houston Oilers 27-13 to advance to the big game. And who did the Steelers meet? Well, let's talk about that game. It's that same day in Tampa Stadium. The NFC Championship game was hosted by the Buccaneers, who were only in their fourth season of existence. The Bucs played tough, but the Los Angeles Rams came to town on a mission, and they defeated Tampa Bay 9-0 for the right to face the Steelers in the Super Bowl 14. January 6, 1985, Miami's Orange Bowl. The AFC Championship game was the Dan Marino-led Dolphins outscoring the Pittsburgh Steelers 45-28 to move on to the big game that year. Their NFC foes was played at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. The NFC Championship game was played in the San Francisco 49ers with Joe Montana under center advanced to the Super Bowl as they blanked the Chicago Bears 23-0. January 6, 2014. The Rose Bowl, Pasadena, California. The BCS National Championship was a memorable one, as number 1 Florida State would have a tough test against number 2 Auburn per ESPN.com. This was a matchup for the ages, as Heisman Trophy winner quarterback Jameis Winston, Kelvin Benjamin, and Devontae Freeman were on the Seminoles team. It's high-powered offense, and they faced the Tigers that sported Sammy Coates, D. Ford, Carl Lawson, and C.J. Uzma. As often happens in these great games, it came down to the final seconds of play. With 13 seconds remaining, Winston threw a 2-yard touchdown pass to Kelvin Benjamin to lift FSU to a 34-31 win and the national title. Now let's rewind back a couple years ago to January 6, 2018, in one of the oddest plays in football history in the playoffs. The Tennessee Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota scores a touchdown that he threw to himself. In one of the craziest play sequences, the Titans had the ball at the Kansas City 6-yard line, facing a 3rd and goal per the Ringer.com website. Mariota dropped back and scrambled around a bit, and then saw daylight left. As he approached the line of scrimmage, he launched a pass towards the end zone, but a defender, KC's Darrell Revis, batted the ball, which went back to Marcus, and he caught it and then dove for the pylon for the touchdown. It was important, too, as it aided in the 22-21 victory over Kansas City in that wildcard round of the playoffs. Mariota was the second NFL quarterback in history to have done that feat. The other was the Minnesota Vikings quarterback Brad Johnson in 1997, who also caught his own pass on a 3rd and goal and scored against the Panthers. It just so happens that same day of January 6, 2018, the Oakland Raiders formally announced that John Gruden would be returning to become their head coach, per ESPN.com. It had been nearly a decade since Gruden's first stint as a Raiders head job as coach, as from 2009 through the 2017 season, he was broadcasting on ESPN's Monday Night Football, and what a job he did there. Now let's take a quick break from our headlines, and let me remind you, you can learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com, and you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone who's here, is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message just for you.
He was known as the Bronze Bullet, tied the world record in the 45 and 60-yard dashes, and while he stood just 5'4", he tied the legendary Red Grange for most touchdowns in the Big Ten in a season with 10 and went on to score 45 more in the pros. Join me, Warren Rogan, and football historian Andy Piasek as we take a look back at the phenomenal career of Buddy Young on Sports Forgotten Heroes.
There's nothing better to be remembered in life, and what time to be remembered than on your birthday? And that's what we're going to do with our Hall of Fame legends for today. On January 6, 1913, the guard from Princeton University, John Jack Weller, was born. Jack received All-America honors in 1935, according to his bio on the NFF website. He was a top lineman on that Tiger teams and suffered only one loss in 3 seasons of his collegiate career, and that was to rival Yale, who won 7-0. The College Football Hall of Fame placed Jack Weller into their House of Collegiate Legends in 1957. January 6, 1947, Clarksburg, West Virginia. Frank Lurie, Virginia Tech's fine defensive back, celebrated his day of birth. According to the NFF, Frank was a 3-year starter for the Hokies and was a 2-time All-American. VT retired Lurie's jersey number 10 as he was well known for his great defensive play as well as his punt return abilities. Frank averaged 13 yards per return and even took 4 of them back for touchdowns in his college career. The National Football Foundation honored Frank Lauri posthumously with an entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1999. Our next birthday celebration takes us out to the west coast of the United States, and that happened on January 6, 1956 in Portland, Oregon. The prolific tight end from the University of Notre Dame, Ken McAfee, arrived into this life. Ken had some very good traits as a tight end, according to the footballfoundation.org website. He was a dominant blocker and also had a great set of hands to catch passes with. Ken was an All-American selection three times. He added the academic All-America title to his resume in 1977, as he also won the Walter Camp Player of the Year Award and was third in the Heisman Trophy vote. That year, he caught 54 passes for 797 yards and 6 touchdowns. It's no wonder that the Fighting Irish also won a national championship that season. The National Football Foundation honored Ken McAfee with entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1997. Next is a real well-known in the football circles. On January 6, 1960, Somerville, Massachusetts, Howie Long, the four-year letterman from Villanova, was born. According to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Howie was a 1981 second-round draft pick of the Oakland Raiders. He spent 13 seasons with the club and registered 84 sacks. You could probably add another 7.5 sacks to that total because, in his rookie season, sacks were not an official statistic of the NFL. Long was an All-Pro in three different seasons and was selected to play in 8 Pro Bowls. During the festivities in Canton in 2000, Howie Long was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. January 6, 1964, in Gladys, Virginia, the outstanding defensive end from James Madison University, Charles Haley, was born. Charles still has the record for being the leading tackler in James Madison's football history, as he gained All-American status twice while at the school, according to the National Football Foundation's website. In fact, Haley was the first player to gain the honor of being called an All-American at the school. Charles completed his collegiate career with 506 tackles, 3 interceptions, and 17 quarterback sacks. The NFL voters happily checked with boxes for Charles Bailey to gain entry into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2011. The San Francisco 49ers got quite a steal when they laid claim to Haley in the fourth round of the 1986 NFL Draft. Haley spent 12 seasons in the NFL with the Niners and the Dallas Cowboys, and he was the first player from James Madison to be drafted in the NFL, and also holds the distinction to be the first NFL player to win 5 Super Bowls. Charles Haley was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 2015. You'll want to make sure you join us back tomorrow for January 7th's football history headlines. And just a sneak peek, we're going to talk about the All-America team of Walter Camp and a little game that they used to call the NFL Playoff Bowl or the Runner-Up Bowl. We'll talk about these things tomorrow on your football history headlines. So to make sure you get in all the action as soon as it's released, hit the subscribe button that's on your podcast player. Or if you want to, make sure when you get up in the morning, check us out at pigskindispatch.com and read the article and check the podcast there. Or you can see the podcast also at the sportshistorynetwork.com, where you can see this podcast and many other great sports history podcasts from very good hosts and great guests on some excellent sports history topics. So make sure you check one of those out, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the Official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the Official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.